Hello and welcome back to another preview episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I'm one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison. Joining me from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, is Ryan Schroeder, back yet again. The third chair is occupied once more. Joining us from the beautiful College Station, Texas, home of everything good and pure, is Mr. Walker Lott. Gentlemen, Ryan, I introduced you first. I'll start with you first. How are you doing? More importantly, how excited are you to dig into Taps Division II today?
No, it's good. It's good. I'm ready for another division we're going to go through. Hopefully it's another good episode. I'm excited to be back for episode number two. I'm ready to get into it. So,
yes, sir. Oh, you're also rocking the shirt of one of my alma maters, SMU. I appreciate that.
Yeah, there you go. A little SMU polo. There you go.
You know, Walker and I both know I claim A&M more than SMU, but you gotta rep Dallas when you can. Walker Lott, College Station, Texas. How's your new apartment, first of all?
It's going good. You know, renovates are going strong. We have a little thing back here that looks pretty cool. We're going to add some stuff on this wall. We're going to have a pretty cool backdrop. It's going to be awesome. Just we're mid, renovating up, unpacking at the moment. So I stopped unpacking to do this episode. Very excited for this. But yeah, going back to school in grad school. So it's a good time. Good vibes.
It's a fun time. Yet again, I'm always, because now we've got one in grad school, two working full time. And even when we were full time students, I've always been kind of blown away by how we can, just kind of tooting our own horn, but I've always been confused by like how we can do all this and still do this. Because, you know, contrary to popular belief, this takes a lot of research and effort on our part. But, you know, it proves that we're passionate about it. And we're three guys that actually just really like covering the space. And speaking of covering the space, we have the Taps Division II preview on par. And guys, I know every time that realignment comes out, I say that, oh, this is a big deal. This is the biggest shakeup that I've seen, to be honest with you. You've got a lot of parts moving back around. I'm honestly still unfamiliar with these districts. I got so used to how they've been the past few years, and now I've got to relearn everything. But we're going to take about an hour or so, give you our high-level overview thoughts on each district, and just kind of tell you where we think some of these teams are going to end up and what players are going to stand out for said team. So without further ado, let's get straight into Taps Division II, District 1. The teams compiling this district are Grapevine Faith, Midland Christian, Fort Worth All Saints, Fort Worth Christian, Southwest Christian from Fort Worth, and Trinity Christian Lubbock. The only team moving up from Division 3 is TCS Lubbock, who's done pretty daggum well the past few years in D3. Walker, I'll turn to you. This district is interesting. Honestly, District 1 looks weaker than it has been in past years. It's kind of been the District of Doom in Division 2. What are your thoughts from a high level on how this looks?
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. It's definitely taken a step back, especially this year. We'll talk about it a little bit more later, but District 4 is kind of taking that title this year. But District 1, it's fallen off. This is probably the first year it's really rough. And not that it's like there's not dudes in there. There absolutely are. But it's a very interesting one this upcoming year, where a lot of guys were always competitive. Every game was really tough. You know, even the past 2 years, you had All Saints and All Saints and Liberty kind of fighting for that top spot. And then the other ones would all be competitive with each other. Now it's kind of a little bit different, where there might be kind of, we'll talk about it a little bit, but we might have one standout and a lot of other people trying to fight for who's going to be those next couple spots.
I agree. It will be interesting. It seems like there's been a power vacuum left by Liberty in that district, whereas you mentioned that it always was Liberty and All Saints fighting for the top spot in this district. Just looking at names, and we'll dig into specifics in a second, it looks like All Saints and then All Saints. I really can't tell you right now that I would expect anyone to really push All Saints in this district. TCS Lubbock's been really good in D3. We don't know how that's going to translate to D2. It's significantly better competition. Well, I say that. Dallas Christian's not in D2, but, I mean, who knows? Ryan Schroeder, we just took a lot of time to detail this. I'll pose you a specific question. First of all, is there a team you think can challenge All Saints in this district? And even if there's not, what team are you looking to that's not named Fort Worth All Saints to do well this year in District 1?
Yeah, I think it's like what you said. This district is not the district it once was, right? And I'll hit on the fact that obviously, you know, All Saints is a clear going away favorite. It now really just comes down to what we know and what we don't know, right? Like, we, you know, we're talking about Fort Worth Christian, a team that there's a lot of questions about when it comes to how are, you know, how a lot of the new guys coming in are going to play together. You know, a lot of big name transfers coming in, but, you know, theoretically speaking, like we've been talking about, we don't know how they're going to play comparative to, you know, to what maybe the big name schools are coming from public school wise means or whatever, right? So, I will say, like, the main comparison I make to District 1 and Fort Worth All Saints is Fort Worth All Saints is finally the regents of their district, right? They're finally, they're like, in my opinion, like, this is really come to a point where regents always had that district. It always felt locked for a long time, Second Baptist here and there, but it always felt like a regents lock. I think Fort Worth All Saints is now finally getting that with some of these teams, like, maybe moving down in rank a little bit, as well as the fact of Liberty and who moved up to District 1. Liberty and I don't know. But yeah.
Legacy?
I can't remember. But just like whoever moved up to District 1 obviously made pave way for this district not to be as competitive as it once was.
Oh my gosh. He left. Oh,
no,
there he
I'm
is.
Back. It was a magic trick. So but yeah, no, I agree with you. It's an interesting void that somebody will have to fill. You know, we've talked a lot about All Saints, and Walker, I'll turn to you to get specific. We can't even go over all of the great guys they have, but
yeah.
Who are some guys on this All Saints team that you think are the reason that we're talking about them so highly right now?
Well, they have three D1 commits right now, and Gavin Parkhurst, who transferred over from Trinity Valley, who's committed to Rice, Dalton Knapp, who just committed to K-State this past summer, and Blake Robinette, who just committed, I believe, to UNLV, and now has recently switched his commitment to TCU, which is a big, big deal. All three players are going to have high potential for the next couple of years or for in college, but it doesn't stop there. Kamont Williams, last year's wide receiver, Jacob Maynard, who transferred with Gavin from TVS, who were really, really high on the past couple of years. And, you know, you have athletes, also SES transfers, Bryce Anderson, Bork Toller, and then also big time weapon who's going to make an impact this year, Hudson Reeser at the outside receiver position. Big, big player. I was really, really impressed with him these past couple of weeks at the TXPS retreat. He was really impressive there. A guy who also stood out there, Caden Richardson from All Saints. Big time weapon's going to be interesting to watch him play. They have Jordan Billings, Keon Atkins. I think I really want to talk about something that All Saints has always had is the offensive line. And it's going to be really good this year, too. Ian Bothwell leads the way, who's been there, for, what, 4 year starter, maybe, over there and there. And then Hudson Dalton, Kwame Osei, Drew Edmonds. They have a 6'3", 6'2", average offensive line height on that team. And they are filled with big old dudes. And it's going to be interesting to watch this year. But we'll talk about it more later, but I really want to say it now. This might be the best All Saints team, top to bottom, and their best chance to win state. And since coming to Taps Division, or just since becoming the Taps, this team looks legit, yeah. Top to bottom. Man, I even last year's team where they had dudes, you know, especially with Keldon Ryan at the helm. I think Gavin's going to bring him a different edge to really take him over the top this year. I think
and I'll interject really quickly here, yeah, and say that KR was a fantastic athlete. He was amazing. And it sounds like when I'm setting this up, I'm going to say, yeah, but there really isn't a but. Keldon Ryan was his own beast. He's one of the best players we've ever seen. I will say that it felt like the Keldon show at times. And again, that's not taking away from Keldon. It honestly should have been the Keldon show. He was that good. But with Parkhurst at the helm, who also is no slouch, he's committed to Rice, he is one of the better quarterbacks in the entire state. I think he's going to allow opportunities for more guys across the board and could be a really, really point that All Saints can leverage this year.
Yeah, I could see him even going, if he has a dominant senior season like we think we can, that Rice commit might turn into something bigger, truly. I could see other colleges coming down and looking at him way higher. Overall, though, behind them, it's going to be the Fort Worth Christian Cardinals, probably. They're led by two-way star Tucker Ashford, who has picked up every D1 offer you could think of right now this offseason by going to camps, and which, rightfully so, he's been a dude. And the story of this team really is the transfer portal for them. They have brought in like 20-plus guys to this program, which it was desperately needed. This team was not great last year, 0-4 in district, and they desperately needed all these dudes to come in. I think they are ahead led by the triplets, the Abercrombie triplets, and Colin Abercrombie, who came from Grapevine Faith, which is a big deal, one of their best players. Abercrombie, who is, if you want to go watch, he is a dude, man. 6'2", 6'1". He's going to be a big-time player for them, and also Bryce Abercrombie. There's also, you know, Kay Crophaller, who, you know, Wes, you love over there. And they also have a lot of guys from Grapevine High School I think are going to make a difference. Alexander Simon, Adam Burns, Harrison Bargy, all three players are going to be big, big time weapons for this team. Also, Marion Meshaal, and I think one to watch this year, Bo Pearson, this wide receiver in the 27 class. He's going to be a big weapon for them down the stretch, and excited to see it. But Wes, talk about this kind of quarterback battle with Landon and Ty. You know, Ty's the guy who's been here for the past 2 years, but Landon, man, showed out at the TXPS retreat and won MVP for the quarterbacks this year. It's going to be a fun quarterback battle to watch this year.
Yeah, man. And at the end of the day, the only thing I can really say, it's a good problem to have for Fort Worth Christian. Like, there's going to be like questions like, oh, like, you know, is it going to be a detriment that one guy is not getting all the snaps, you know, in the offseason coming into camp or in the offense? I don't think so at all. I think these teams are small enough that both guys are going to get significant, you know, first team reps in the offseason. And I think it's honestly even more valuable that they're competing and pushing each other so nobody gets complacent. Like, I got the starting job, I can slack off. Both these guys are going full tilt. It's going to be really interesting. I don't have enough knowledge to speak in specifics about each guy, but I do think it's a good problem to have for Christian. And honestly, here's what I'll say. Before we started, I was hesitant on where we put Fort Christian on our rankings. Walker rightfully talked me into putting them a little bit higher. And the more that I look into them, and especially just being reminded of how dadgum good Tucker Ashford is and how all these guys potentially, you know, mesh together, I think they have the potential to be really good. Ryan, I'm curious if you share our thoughts on Fort Worth Christian moving into the season.
I don't understand like how many transfers, like how this happens in some capacity, right? Like think about this number compared to all this. Four guys coming from one high school over together, three brothers coming from different high schools and stuff, two of them coming from Byron Nelson, one of them coming from another TXPS school, you know, like if you could call five of them coming from Grapevine, whether that be Grapevine or Grapevine Faith, like that's insane to think about that, like that's how this has worked and stuff in some capacity, you know, the Brock transfer for a quarterback, like this is, I think that's a crazy concept. And I mean, honestly, this Fort Worth team could flip entirely on its head from 0-4 to whatever it may be, especially because, you know, just the district looks a little bit different without the Liberty powerhouse up top.
I completely agree. And to close out D1, let's kind of sweep Midland, Faith, SCS, and TCS kind of into a bucket and talk about the four teams, and I think there's not really one that's super, super competitive over the other, maybe yeah, moving into the season. I think we've pretty well established All Saints is far and away the first team. Fort Worth Christian is very most likely going to be the second. Midland, Walker, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on Midland because they obviously performed well in spots last year, had some tough games against really good teams, but it's just they also lose some significant contributors. What's your outlook on them coming into 24?
Yeah, I'll talk about them and then kind of overall thoughts on the rest of them. A team that, like we always say, is going to be gritty to the end. They're that West Texas tough. They're going to always bring that energy. It's what it is. Nice. That was really good. I'm impressed with that. Of course, they're read by Midland Christian, the family that just has built that program, Boston Rodriguez, the younger brother of course, River. And Boston is legit, man. He's going to be a two-way star for them. They're going to be really good. The interesting is going to be see the quarterback battle. Avery Morgan is in his third, I think, according to the guy, like his third quarterback battle this year. It's going to be interesting to see. I think after watching him at 707, that's probably going to be who wins it. And Evan Garrett is going to be a guy who really is going to be a versatile weapon for them. But it's going to be interesting to see who kind of pulls that out. We're just kind of going off of 707, but it's going to be interesting to see. The big name on that team, you know, there's Brady Young, Colton Alexander is Rowdy Pierce, the 26th offensive lineman, 6'4", does really good in track and field in the shot put and discus. He's going to be one to watch these next couple of years. You know, Midland always has one big dude, and he's going to be that big dude for the next 2 years. Going to be one to watch. The rest of them, Greyvon Faith loses Abercrombie. They're left by Austin Cosby, Noah Smith. They're going to be kind of taking the lead. Seeing what this team, who also loses Tristan Dayer, who was going to be their top dude on the offensive defensive lines, he's now at Southside Carroll. He transferred over. So it's going to be interesting to see. There you go. It's going to be interesting to see how they kind of adapt, and this head coach is going to just continue to bring this team forward that has always been good. On the other side, Southwest Christian is looks a little rough, losing a couple of kids to transfers, but they bring a couple guys in. Braxton Smith from TCS Willow Park, who I'm excited about. Robert Jones from Nolan Catholic, who I'm excited about. And Zach Garrett actually was a kid who went to SES in elementary school, but I guess he went to IMG and is now back for his senior year at SES. So that's going to be pretty cool to see. Colton Cook is my guy. He's going to be leading the charge over there. And also Wyatt Ayerhoff, and I love Jalen Thomas as a DB spot. Won the 200 or won the 100 meter in the 5A ranks, and it stands at 6'2". And those two combinations, I think he runs like 10.3, 10.4. No.
Ooh.
Something like that. You'd love him, Wes. He's a big-time player. And then TCS Lubbock. Quarterback J.J. Martinez, who transferred from Brownfield, is a guy who's been getting a lot of hype. And from, what is it? I think he transferred in the spring when we heard about this first. And a lot of people are really excited about him. The guy I really want to mention is Javion Ramon. This kid is going to be a D1 prospect. The guy loves him too. I think he's going to be a really big time player. And watching this film last year, you can see why. Big time player. I think he has D1 potential in him. It's going to be awesome to watch. But overall thoughts now, there's not really a team that kind of will stand out from the rest. I think it's going to be who has the best team. Everyone has a one or two guys that are going to be good players. It's going to be see who's going to be the grittiest, who's going to be the most disciplined. It kind of put themselves above the others in this district. It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I agree. It certainly will. Ryan, out of the four teams we just kind of quickly went over, any high-level thoughts on them and how they slot into this puzzle that is District 1?
I think Walker hit it pretty nail on the head there. I think the only really question mark is TCS Lubbock moving up into the D2 slot now versus D3, because their D2 or their D3, schedule and like season last year went really well with, just a loss meeting up against DC in the playoffs, right? So it'll be a challenge for them, but the rest of these teams, I mean, Walker hit right on the head. I was gonna make a couple of just general comments about the district before we moved on. Sure. Mostly just kind of relating to, some of the All Saints stuff and some of the stuff you see in this district. We used to call this the District of Doom. We used to call this the Fort Worth District, basically, because the amount of teams that were from Fort Worth in this district. And I just want to point out, right, when we look at these transfers and stuff, the names we've mentioned over the years, whether it be TBS guys going to All Saints, whether it be Southwest Christian guys going to All Saints, whether it be the Dodder brothers going to All Saints from Lake Country, these are all Fort Worth schools that are all basically jumping around to each other. You can say the same thing about Fort Worth Christian getting Grapevine kids. Like, this is just like, it feels like in some capacity or another, kids in this area, especially private school kids, tend to jump from school to school and definitely tend to jump to All Saints if they're of a higher level at football. And I wanted to go back to All Saints in another capacity too, going from the quarterback to quarterback year strength wise, because we're talking about, I just want to, because I was going to counteract what you said. This is the best All Saints team of all time. And I talk about, I think the 2022 All Saints team with Jalen Spriggs as the quarterback overall was a better team. However, Jalen Spriggs, in my opinion, is not better than Keldon Ryan, obviously. He's not better than, Gavin Parker's, right? From what we know. Like, I think, theoretically speaking, you're right. This could be a better, better team and stuff. It is just interesting because I think all the firepower around Jalen Spriggs' team, whether that be his running backs or wide receivers or the defensive side of the ball, was incredible. That All Saints defense was incredible with what's his name? The defensive or defensive end. I forgot his name off the top of my head, but
Robert. Sanders. Robert Sanders.
Sanders. I mean, insane. They had other guys. Their DBs insane. Like, I mean, that defense was incredible. Overall, when you talk about an overall team, that's what I think of All Saints.
And to add on to that point, and we can end it with this. I think I want to get your words right, because I think you're correct in that statement. I think in recent memory, I think that was the most complete All Saints team. I think you're right there. Because over the years with like Foster Sawyer, Demetrius Knox, those dudes where they just killed an SBC, probably the best All Saints teams. In I think taps. Also, 100%. Because even those 21 teams with like the Brockemeyers, Hamp Fay, Monte Dawson, remember that first year of us doing it? Those years?
Sure.
That was a good year. But I really think I think, yeah, 22 team was the most complete. And I think this year is their best chance to win it. I think that's kind of how you would.
That's fair.
I think
that's
those are
exactly
how you would say that.
Because of the switch of the landscape, for sure.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, and we'll get to this later, I literally see Regents as one of the only like contenders at this point, right? Like I don't. It's
especially
it's
in the
different.
North. Yeah.
It's way different. It's way different than it was, right? So.
All right, Wes, get us out of here, man. We're gonna ramble all about All Saints. So get us out of here.
No, I like it. That's what the people enjoy, apparently, and we'll keep doing it. So that's what we have. Yeah, let's get to the rankings really quickly, just because we talked about it ad nauseum. We'll rank each district at the end, and then do our final rankings once we get there. So and we're not going to discuss these because we've already kind of given a rationale for all this. The rankings for District 1, Division 2. Is first Fort Worth All Saints, second Fort Worth Christian, third Midland Christian, fourth Trinity Christian Lubbock, fifth Grapevine Faith, and sixth Fort Worth Southwest Christian. So those are the rankings. Moving on to District 2 in Division 2. We have teams consisting of Grace Prep out of Arlington that moved up from D3, Brentwood, which also moved up, Austin Hyde Park, Austin Regents, Bullard Brookhill, Dallas Bishop Dunn, and Grace Community, not to be confused with Tyler Grace. So those are the teams that we have. I mean, listen, we gotta say Regents has got to be the favorite here. I think a big question is, and I think we can get started, is the race for second between Hyde Park and Grace Community. I'll save everyone my thoughts off the rip because everyone knows what I'm going to say because I graduated from Grace. So I'll send it to someone in Walker Lot that didn't graduate from Grace Community. Well, Walker, what are your thoughts on the race for second?
You know what? Why don't we just say the rankings for this district and then we can talk about them from there. So
yeah,
say
what
you
think.
Yeah,
it might be easier. Yeah, that's what I think too.
I'll say what I think in form of the rankings. So first we have Regents. Second we have Grace Community. Third is Hyde Park. Fourth is Grace Prep. Fifth is Brookhill. Sixth is Bishop Dunn. And seventh is Austin Brentwood. Listen,
wow, really
I will.
We didn't show our hand there, did we, at all?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't bury the lead at all. So, I mean, I'll say it right off the rip. As unbiased as I can be, and keep in mind, the bold predictions I've had about Grace on this podcast, a lot of them have been right. Whether
You're
that's
wrong.
Beating Bishop Dunn in 22 or beating Midland Christian last year. I try to be as unbiased as possible. But Grace is sneaky good, and a lot of people don't realize it just because they're not in the Metroplex. I'll say this right now. I think Grace is going to be very solid this year. Notice I didn't say sexy. I didn't say a lot of, like, incredible receiving talent and just, like, blazing fast dudes, a ton of D1 prospects. I think as a team, they're going to be as solid as they come, especially in District 2. And that starts with their offensive and defensive fronts. On the offensive line, you've got Luke Wilson, Nick Boone, Colton Masters, Braden Wells. Then you've got on the back end, Lawson Livingston and McCade Stinson. It'll depend because McCade and JT are both great quarterbacks. I would assume that JT ends up starting at quarterback, and then that frees McCade up to play linebacker, who he is very, very good at. I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to have a ton of great, just big guys in the trenches, and that's what wins games. And I think Grace has a puncher's chance to win the district. I do. I think a lot of people think, and I didn't even say this before. No, I know you'll say that.
No.
I think they do. I think at home they could beat Regents.
Okay. Good for you. Congratulations for that opinion. Responding back to that, no. And I think this Austin Regents team is going to be really, really good this year. I'm, you know, a couple years ago, I was on this St. Michael's bandwagon. And I was the homer for St. Michael for years. I have flipped. And I will support the other team down there in Austin and Austin Regents, man. I think this team is going to be really, really good this year. Hearing about this team is that I think this rising junior class of 26s is going to be phenomenal for them. I think it's going to be awesome. Blake Smith, Cade Millington were the guys who were big-time names last year. But also, like, Drew Novi and Logan Kendall and are going to be big-time weapons for them. Also, Charlie Byrne comes over from Hyde Park, the 6'3 lineman, which that was one of their weaknesses, was offensive line. I think that's going to be crucial for him to add on to them. You have the senior leaders, Graham Reaches. It's been 4 years of saying his name. We should know how to say his last name by now.
We should.
But North Carolina commit, just committed over there. Shane Verdick, Jack Burkle, going to be big-time players. But I think it's what's going to be the difference for this game. I'm going to say kind of a bold take is I think Quinn Murphy was phenomenal, and I think there's a reason he just committed to Baylor. Congrats, Quinn. Big time for you. I think this offense is going to move better with Jack Devine at the helm. I think look at
I
like think about this. Think
give
about
me the rationale for it before I call you insane.
Jack Devine is a way better mobile quarterback than Quinn Murphy. And think about the offenses of past with Austin Regents. Drew Dickey, mobile quarterback. Wilson Long, mobile quarterback. And those are guys, those are teams that went to the state titles and got close and were the top teams in the South for years. Their offense uses better when you're able to do a QB keeper, when you're able to run out of the pocket and you're able to kind of, have a little fun with it. I think that's what Jack Devine will bring. He's ultra athletic and he has a good arm as well. I think that's what it's going to make the difference for this offense is I think he's going to bring a little bit of a different edge. I'm not saying he's a better player right now than Quinn Murphy. I think that's insane to say, but I think he's going to be a better fit for this
I was
offense
gonna
at
say
Regents.
that's fair. I was so because you called me crazy and I was so ready to just deliver the
Oh, I know.
counterpunch to call you insane. The point makes sense. Obviously, Quinn Murphy's Quinn Murphy. He's incredible at what he does. Devine might fit better in the scheme. We'll have to see. We don't have a big sample size on how Jackson. We
True.
just have the we have the one state championship game against the death squad that's known as Liberty Christian. But that being said, Ryan Schroeder, Walker and I have talked a lot ad nauseum even about how this shakes up. Any thoughts on Regents, Grace, anything we've discussed so far?
No, I think y'all are insane. I think y'all just speak and then it just kind of just goes into a symposium where I don't even know what I'm listening to when it comes to just Regents versus Grace talk when clearly there's so much bias at hand. No, I'm just kidding. What's it called? I seriously, like seriously, I'm not, this is not like, this is not a dig, I feel like, at any other district and all that kind of stuff, but like, or this is not a, this is just a dig at the division, but if I'm being honest, like, this division is the worst it's ever been. And I think that's where I'm realizing that, like,
Ooh.
I th this division, like, in turn is, and then because I see Regents so far above the rest of this
Do
district. I
you
see
mean
forward All Saints.
district or division? Like all of
Oh,
the division as a whole.
division, the division. The division is worse than it's ever been. It used to be the most competitive one. It used to be the only competitive one for a while. And
True.
where you had like, but when DC moved down, it was literally Division Two is the only competitive one in some capacity or another until Liberty started taking over. And then DC, it just a couple different things with that. The reason why I say that is because now I look at this again and I think Regions is far and away this district as well. I realize that Grace gets Hyde Park and Regents at home, but I also realize that like that won't matter, right? Like in like I would be more interested to know. I'm gonna look at this right now. Does Regents get Hyde Park at home? And they don't. They gotta go to Hyde Park. But I'm just I just but they have a bye before they play at Hyde Park. Like that's just another thing. Like they have a bye going into the Hyde Park week, so they have 2 weeks to prepare for Hyde Park. Like there's so many things where like it really feels like this team is is good. I think yeah, Jack Devine's a new part of the system, right? Obviously not Quinn that we know, but like it's still positive. You got high level players, D1 caliber players. The rest of this district, throws me for a loop a little bit. And we'll get some more into the different people in the different teams in the district too. But yeah, just a mix of that and then these teams being everywhere from Dallas to Tyler to Austin. I mean, I don't really know how to think of this
Still,
anymore.
yeah, that's still crazy.
And keep in mind, I still stand by the ranking of Regents first. I just said Grace has a chance. I'm saying that I don't think it's going to be years past. I probably should have qualified this by saying I don't think it's going to be the years past where Regents walked into Grace with Drew Dickey when Regents was still as good as they've ever been and Grace was in a. I can't use the word I use if we don't want to get flagged. Grace was in a poo-poo year back in 2021 and they got massacred. I don't think
True.
it's going to be the same. I think this could be a very competitive game for at least a couple quarters. And again, I got to ride for my guys. And once I guarantee you, once that week comes around, I'm going to pick Grace to win because it's a no-lose scenario for me. But
True. You want me
we've
to?
spent about 10 minutes, 15
Yeah.
minutes already talking about two teams in this district. Let us move on to Austin Hyde Park, a team that could very easily finish second that we haven't even mentioned yet. Walker, we like guys like Houston Shaw, especially Hayden Bechtel, a lot. What are your thoughts on the Panthers as we move into the season?
Yeah, you know, this team is really, really solid and was really good last year. You know, they have big guys on the offensive line, Mason Parrish, Wyatt Smith, Jack Braddock is gonna be a versatile athlete for them, Brendan Bartholomew. The story of the team will definitely be their quarterback battle, is where two transfers come in, Carter Kaufman, Crawford Moffitt, both from Lake Travis and Westlake respectively. All three of them with Hayden Bechtel are all different classifications, which is an interesting thing you'd have. You don't have two seniors, you don't have this. But the advantage Hayden Bechtel has is that he was the starter last year. He was invited to our TXP's retreat because he was a really good asset for them last year. But is this the type of thing where, you know, do you move Hayden to like receiver, for example, because he's a better weapon offensively at the receiver position with a still really good quarterback in Carter or Crawford? It's that type of thing where what guy deserves to be the spot, or do you have three good quarterbacks and then maybe one's better at receiver? You know what I mean? So it's gonna be interesting to see how they're gonna win that quarterback battle, and we're gonna see who starts week one for the Panthers. But I think that's gonna be the story of the team. But yeah, like you said, Houston Shaw is gonna be one of those guys to watch in this district, gonna be a big time player. I think it definitely is gonna be a good game up there in Tyler versus Grace Community for that second place spot. I think it's gonna be one to watch. Wes, that might be a game you have to go see your Tyler boys to go watch that game.
So here's the problem now. I was going to mention this is I'm sure my employers are great people. I'm sure I can talk to them about it, but I get off work at either 5 or 5:30 now. And from Plano, that's about a 2-hour and 15-minute drive. So if I'm coming in, I'm getting in late. However, there's got to be at least one Grace game I get back to this year. It has to happen. And it's either going to be Hyde Park or Regents, probably Hyde Park. Just so I've got a better chance of coming out of there with a victory. Now, again, I'm not the one getting a victory. I'm not biased. I'm not biased at all here,
Yeah,
but
that's true.
it'll be
But
interesting.
looking at the other teams, I do my whole quick spiel though. Grace Prep is going to be a gr interesting team going up to D2. Dominic Van, the Army commit, is going to be the big time player for them. Bryce Prince, Joseph Ehrman are going to be a 1-2 punch in the backfield. Looking at Brentwood, Victor Kankaba is going to be a big time offensive lineman for them and one of the best in the district. Brandon Jennings is another guy with the Zerlinski brothers. Big weapons for Brentwood, but I love Brandon Jennings. I think he's a versatile dual threat quarterback over there. Looking at Brook Hill, you have Braxton Durrett. Cam Ryle will be the starter again this year. Bishop Dunn's gonna be the interesting one, and we ranked him a little bit higher earlier. And I want to talk. Well, and it finish with them is Josiah Roan comes back, Paul Geary, Miles Jackson. Those are gonna be guys who are gonna come back and kind of lead this team. But the transfers they brought in are gonna be the interesting ones. If they pan out, this could be a pretty good Dunn team this year. If they don't, it could be Dunn of old for the past like 2 years since Jeremiah Horn left. The Elijah Smith transfer, or sorry, Elijah Smith and Ethan Smith from Waxahachie are going to be interesting pieces. Ethan Smith is a kid that came in. He's going to be 6'3 quarterback for them. Got to take over for Quincy. He doesn't look bad, man. And he has the size. I haven't seen him run, but if he can be a dual threat guy for Bishop Dunn, it's going to be interesting to watch. I think it could be pretty good for them. And then the final two guys, Adarian Alexander and James Lemons, the 26 and 27 athletes, those guys could be difference makers for this Bishop Dunn squad. And so if they put it all together, this Bishop Dunn squad could, not saying they're going to win district or anything, but they could cause some havoc. And it could be a very interesting middle of the pack group where they could give Grace Community or Hyde Park a run for their money. And that could be a closer game than they expect.
Yeah, and also before I pass it off to Ryan to conclude, I will say this. Again, we mentioned this off air, and I said this basically verbatim, was it's a question of if Dunn can get back closer to 2022 Dunn and far, far away from 2023 Dunn. Because 2022 Dunn, again, they lost to Grace in kind of a fluky monsoon game, but they were real. I mean, they were first, second in that district. People forget that because of how bad they were last year. If they can capture some of that again and utilize the athletes they always seem to have and really just not implode in the middle of the season, that'll be the most important thing. It's always a high risk, high reward gamble with Dunn, but I do think that they are poised to be much better this year than last year. Ryan Schroeder, take us home on Division II, District II.
I mean, I think I'll go straight into Dunn because we're just talking about it. I mean, last year, yeah, you're exactly right. Last year should not be the representation of one, you know, what this year should be, right? I mean, last year is a 3-7 team with a win against Eastern Hills, Bishop Gorman, and a 3-point win against Coram Deo in district. Like this team had a really bad season last year. They played a lot of hard teams. They opened their schedule with at Dallas Christian and closed their schedule at Liberty. So like very hard season, I agree, but theoretically, like that's it's just not where you want to be, and I think they know that. But what I will say regarding this whole district and everything like that, I think I go into the quarterback battle that you were talking about over at quarterback battle that you're talking over at Hyde Park. I would be interested to know like what the quarterback difference is between somewhere like Midland Christian, which is clearly, you know, Avery Morgan and Evan Garrett, like two guys in their senior years, you know, trying to figure out a way that they could battle out for a quarterback spot. And then the other one kind of like has to like just let that go, or they share the time like they do at Oklahoma State apparently last year, where you play three quarterbacks. But at this point, at like District Two, or I mean at Hyde Park, you know, you have three guys, you know, two, you know, in some variety or another, like you have two guys coming in, a guy from last year and stuff like that, like, and they're all different years. I just wonder, does seniority play a factor in some factor in this stuff? Is it really just the best athlete? You know, does Crawford basically just get put out of the picture immediately just because of the fact that he is younger than both Carter and Hayden? Like, I
Yeah.
just want to know. I want to know how that stacks up, especially as, compared to just compared to a whole different situation at Midland, where clearly it's these guys' final ride, and they're trying to figure out a way to, you know, figure this quarterback battle out. It's just an interesting kind of comparison and contrast when, you know, it's a little bit different across districts and a little bit
Yeah.
different across teams around. But yeah, I'd be interested to know.
Yeah, definitely so. District 2. Interesting as always. Grace Community is in there, so how could it not be at least somewhat interesting? But that being said, moving on to District 3, which will take considerably less time because more than anything, there's four teams in there, and it'll take less time to
Still
discuss. So
crazy. Still crazy.
it
This
is. They just they
district is crazy.
we talked about this whenever they realigned it. They took a sledgehammer. No, they took a box of dynamite to this district and just everything's gone. I don't know. Again, I'm not going to get into the travel and stuff, but it's just crazy. But within District 3, we have Brownsville St. Joseph, San Antonio Christian, San Antonio St. Anthony's, and Victoria St. Joseph. As for the TXPS rankings of this district, at number one, we have Brownsville St. Joseph. At number two, we have the Flyers of Victoria St. Joseph. Number three, San Antonio Christian. And number four, San Antonio St. Anthony's, who we can never seem to find any information on at all. Walker Lot, yep, much smaller district. I'm not going to mince words here. A much weaker district than any district that we have here. Brownsville always, though, seems to have dudes that can play well in spots. Not just that,
Right.
just dudes that can play football overall. Claudio Torres is still there. David De La Cruz is still there. Gavin Cisneros is still there. Guys that we have mentioned before, and there's no replacement for experience in the game of football. What are your thoughts on St. Joseph moving into the season?
I think they're going to be really good this year. I don't know the depths of that team. Unlike last year, because they are down in Brownsville, so we aren't able to really see them. And they weren't at 7-on-7. I was really looking forward to see them at Tab 7-on-7, but they just didn't make it this year. But I really love Claudio Torres's game. Diego De La Cruz, you know, the guy thinks he's the number one private school offensive lineman, and I mean, I can't really say no. He's a big time dude for them this year, and I think he deserves that number one ranking. Gavin Cisneros is a guy who, I mean, dominated last year. I think he had like 2,000 yards passing as a sophomore. Look for him to be really good this year. And I mean, the district, they better have a pretty good non-district schedule. I would love to see. Let me see what that non-district schedule is, because that's going to be the key piece for this team. Is they play Regents. They play a couple teams in that area, so I don't really know much about them, but they. To have a good team in Brownsville St. Joseph, because this is really their district, they're going to walk through majority of these teams in this district. That's just who they are this year. They have to be prepared to get in the playoffs, because when they do it, they're going to compete against, of course, like a TWCA or Fort Bend and or something like that in round one, where they have to be on their A game going into the playoffs. And I don't think this district is going to set them up to where they have to be on their A game. So they just have to have that mental mindset to have that this year. And hopefully Claudio De La Cruz, those guys can have those team prepared. But the other teams, San Antonio Christian has a new head coach who left dramatically, I think in the spring or the summer. Really crazy thing. But they have Hudson Russell. They have a couple other guys, Rick Barth. It's going to be interesting to see. San Antonio and Tony, I think they went 0-10 last year. It was a rough year for them last year. So, I think they get a couple wins this year. Like, I think the guy said that himself. I think they get the couple wins. And that's what they're going to be looking forward to this year is let's get a couple wins on the map. And then for Victoria St. Joseph, I really like the Dedrick Calais kid. I think he's a good running back for them. And quarterback is going to be returning this year in Aiden Aragon. I think they have a good squad this year, but I just think it's Brownsville's district to lose, and I think it's pretty easily Brownsville districts to lose.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of with Brownsville St. Joe's is that I'm just trying to think of a positive because the negative obviously is, iron sharpens iron. And if they're playing a bunch of teams, they're beating by 50 in district. Well, how's that going to get you ready for the Second Baptists and the Regents and the Fort Worth All Saints of the world? And maybe, if the district's not such a grind and they're not getting beat up in season, but I can't even really stress that to make it work. You have to have at least a couple competitive games in district to be like, okay, this is how we react when we get in a dogfight. Now we're ready for playoffs. That Regents game will help a lot. And I think that's going to be a measuring stick as much as it can be early in the season to tell us, okay, this actually is how good St. Joe's is because we're not going to know once they get into district and beat St. Anthony's by 85 points. But that's my main source of commentary I have on the district. Ryan Schroeder, let's turn to you and close out District 3.
I mean, I really don't know how to say anything more than what we said. I don't know. I don't know. Can I just be honest? I don't know anything. I'm trying to like grasp at straws here, but like, I'll just, you know what? Here's my commentary. You ready? This is the only district I feel like that makes some sort of geographical sense until you realize that Victoria St. Joseph is 2 hours away from San Antonio. Then you realize that it really doesn't make any sense, and that like literally, I'm laughing at that a little bit, but no, obviously we've known Brownsville St. Joseph's for the years. I was trying to go through their non-district schedule and stuff like that just to kind of point out some stuff. I want us to tap in as much as we can to that Brownsville versus Regents game because I think we need to analyze it in a vacuum of the fact of like of how well Brownsville puts themselves against Regents. And like, if let's say they lose by 14 and they score a lot of points. I
That's a
think
win.
that's a success for them at that point. I think whatever you can do, some of these are UIL teams, I'm assuming, but some of these I don't even know. Like, I mean, I've never heard of some of these schools, if I'm being so honest with you. But like I think this is where at this point, the San Antonio district and this district itself, has been for a while, right? It's different this year, but it's still in and of itself a district that, clearly doesn't stack up to the other districts that they play against in the playoffs and stuff. But Brownsville St. Joseph is the representative from that district usually, and I would like to think that yeah they can show something for themselves if they put themselves in a good position for a couple games in their non-district schedule, whether that includes Regents or some of their UIL teams.
Yeah, I think Brownsville St. Joe's would stand to benefit by scheduling a team like Prime Prep in non-district. Hey, oh, okay, we're moving on to District 4 with that comment. In terms of Division 2, District 4, we have Beaumont Kelly, Cypress Christian, Fort Bend Christian, Lutheran South, Second Baptist, and TWCA. In terms of the TXPS rankings of the district, which actually this might be the most interesting one outside of District 2. First, we have Second Baptist. Second, we have the Woodlands Christian Academy. Third, we have Fort Bend Christian. Fourth is Cypress Christian. Fifth is Lutheran South. And fifth is Beaumont Kelly. So, gentlemen, yeah, seems like Second Baptist District to lose. We even had the discussion before we started airing that Second Baptist is a legitimate pick to win the state championship. I mean, obviously, All Saints is there, Regents is there. There's another team that I should be thinking of that's there, but it just slips my mind. But mostly
Grace,
All
who
Saints and
was it?
Regents.
Grace, who just won
Yeah,
the?
Grace Community. Sorry, I don't know how they weren't top of mind when I'm talking
Right,
about
right, right,
championships.
right.
But But I mean, Walker
Yes.
Wise is Second Baptist, one of our favorites to make it to Waco.
Because this team, top to bottom in the 25 and the 26 classes, is deep. And a lot of these guys in 25 and 26 have started multiple years. And I think it's even better that Cannon Toon got like five, six games under his belt last year, maybe even more than that. Yeah, already all the way to like the semifinal round. He had a lot of games under his belt as a sophomore. Now he gets to two more years. Adam Vessel, Langston Davis, Kellen Batiste. This 26 class is special for them. And then you look at the 25 class, and it's led by Bryce Butler, Ethan Dishman, Cash Harris, and RJ Lee, who's committed to Houston. There is multiple Division I guys on this roster. Multiple. And it makes them poised for a true like title run this year. And especially with Regis not in the South this year, Hyde Park not in the South, it makes it a lot easier this year for sure. And so if they do it like they did last year with the playoff bracket where, you know, both 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 compete against each other, go to state, it's going to be interesting to see to watch or interesting to watch second. It is Second Baptist is really the lose. That's going to throw a lot of people like the wrong way where they're like, what about us? The talent Second Baptist has and Beck Bryden, who has done this before, you know, he knows a thing or two about winning TAP state titles. And hopefully he can get them ready to go. This team looks really good. Hopefully some young guys can come up to the ranks and be those guys they need them to be. But I think this is Second Baptist's thing to lose. Now, I want to talk about the other point that is the biggest conversation piece of this district, TWCA versus Fort Bend. I am a big TWCA fan, I'm not gonna lie. And you know, with the Fort Bend people can come after me because I vouch for this the most. I'll say it out loud. I vouch for this the most, really. I think TWCA was gonna be really, really good, have a really good season this year. I think Grayson Boker is gonna be that dude this year. I think he's gonna be Defensive Player of the Year in TAPS Division II candidate type of dude. He's gonna be phenomenal. And then you add Bo Ellis, you add Tyler Seeger, the guys who've been there last year. But I think the three big weapons and transfers are William Cook, offensive lineman, Prince Holiday, I believe from Montgomery Lake Creek, if I had to guess. I think it's around that area. And then Santiago Fernandez from John Cooper. We're
Santi.
big fans of Santi. I think he's a big time athlete, big time pole jumper too.
Paul
Pole
Walter.
vaulter. Thank you.
Sorry, I was so aggressive. My sister pole vaulted. I can't see the great name of pole vault slander.
No, I totally understand. But those three guys are going to be difference makers for the squad. They beef up the offensive line where they really didn't have the past couple of years. Prince Holiday is going to be an absolute force on the defensive line, which was absolutely needed for them. And Santiago Fernandez is a guy who's going to come in confident, athletic, and he's going to make plays. And I really think this is going to be a really good year for them. He's going to have Bo Ellis. He's going to have Grayson Boker to throw to. And then on the opposite side, Grayson Boker and Bo Ellis are going to be difference makers for this team. I really like this TWCA team. I know, and everyone from Fort Bend's going to be like, well, what happened last year? And we'll go into that now. You didn't, like, Romarian Tillman is gone, who was a big-time piece for that team last year, and you don't have Max Granville. Max Granville was the difference maker for this Fort Bend team, and that's going to be the biggest weapon. They don't have him this year, and it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out with Fort Bend Christian, where they have Tyler Curry, who is going to be a dude. I think he's an FCS prospect or at least high D2. Cannon Campworth is a guy who's we've heard for years, and I think he's going to be a big time weapon for his senior year. TJ Smith, DJ Smith, Clark Johnson. I think Nico Lahr is going to be an underrated big time player in this division, by the way. I really like him. But I'm a little worried about what's going to happen to the quarterback position. That's kind of my worry about this team is where it was shaky at times last year, where it just didn't look comfortable from quarterback to receiver. It was just rough last year. And that's why they really relied on their run game. And that's why Romarian Tillman was a big time weapon for him from Katy. Well, they're gone. I think Campworth is going to probably come in that running back position. I think he's going to do good, but I just, it's going to be interesting to see. Is it going to be Jack Malone again? Is it going to be Cannon Wolf, this new transfer quarterback? And they have, you know, they have Tyler Curry to throw to. They have the Smith brothers, and they have Blake Hamilton, who I think is going to receive for like 1,000 yards this year. No one can teach speed like that. But I and Wes, you can attest to my worries. I think it's just the quarterback battle is going to, having a quarterback battle, it always just brings worries. And I think that's what's going to kind of be the detriment to this Fort Bend Christian team.
And I'll agree with that. It kind of goes contrary to what we said about Fort Worth Christian, where I said this is a great thing. Like, this is two guys that are pushing each other. I don't think it's a detriment. I don't think that's entirely true with Fort Bend Christian, just because it's a lot of what I saw last year, where there was a lot of shakiness in the passing game. It's you know, it's hard for me to go off of anything else because that's what we saw. I'm going to need to justify us bumping Fort Bend Christian up in the rankings as we start doing them in season. I would need to see a consistent passing game more than anything else, because they have the pieces at receiver. We know this. Can somebody get the ball to them? Again, that's no shade against Jack Malone at all. He's a great player, but sometimes you can have great players in spots and just connections don't work out. I need to see that happen this year. The time is up for us waiting around seeing if Fort Bend Christian is going to have a competent passing game. You know, we haven't really seen that since Brady left. It's been, you know, all of a year, but it's time to get that kicking back in gear. And I'm not, this isn't at all to say that I'm worried about Fort Bend Christian. They're going to go in the dumps. I don't think they are. It's,
I think,
just,
this is a more balanced team than last year. I think overall, yeah, this team is going to be better without, you know, losing Max Granville is the biggest loss that any team can ever tank. Oh no, he's gone. His battery
good thing
is dead.
Got a webcam.
That's totally fine. But losing Max Granville's the hardest thing that any team can do. And so you don't have that safety blanket this year. And I think that's going to be a big, big loss for Fort Bend. I think it's going to be more detriment than people will realize, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Ryan, any overall comments on what we've gone over so far regarding Fort Bend Christian, TWCA, and Second Baptist?
I can't get over that great looking poster behind you. It's crazy how, like, yeah, I mean, that's incredible. That's actually incredible.
I gotta get that taken down in this house. Yeah. I didn't put that up for anyone wondering.
I was gonna go more just into Second Baptist a little bit and stuff like that. I mean, obviously it's what I did the last time. I think Second Baptist, you know, right? Like, you know, we talked about them being a potential to run for this, you know, the division for the, you know, the top spot, whether that be, you know, against All Saints, whether that be against you know, regions and stuff. But it really comes down to the way they scheduled their year this year, right? Going into district, they're scheduling three back-to-back-to-back SBC games against ESD, St. John's, Kincaid. Like, pretty good schedule-wise, you know, having that bye and then going into district and stuff. I think they're ready for the testament to test this year and really try to make that run for the state, you know, for the state championship. And I think that if there's going to be any year, I think Second Baptist knows that, you know, this is a year to do it, right? I do want to say this because I think this is kind of funny, and I want y'all to guess. It's a little bit of a tangent, but do y'all know, you know, how different schools will play outside of the state, whether that be playing, you know, a team in Louisiana, whether that be All Saints going to, you know, the Episcopal Academy in Newton Square, Pennsylvania, back in 2022, or the games I got to cover last year, one game of All Saints in Tulsa and a game of, I think, another school in Oklahoma City at Cassidy. Obviously, y'all have heard about that for a while, okay? This year, All Saints has scheduled a St. Louis team and a California team to come to Texas. I want you to guess where Second Baptist has scheduled a non-district opponent from and where they're going off to. I want you to guess the state. I'll give you a hint. It's none of the states I've mentioned, but not Oklahoma, not Louisiana, not Pennsylvania, not California, not Missouri,
Florida,
none of them.
No, I remember seeing it on Twitter. Oh man.
They're starting off the year with a flight.
Alaska?
With a flight to Chicago, Illinois to play Wheaton Academy.
Yes.
So, okay. To get off this tangent a little bit, but to kind of close with it, we've obviously heard this is a big way for teams to kind of work on a college recruiting type scale, where you go to these different areas and you kind of have them in front of different college coaches and stuff. It's a great way for, you know, a lot of guys to, you know, to start that process and meet these college coaches. I thought it was an interesting thing. I would like the opinion of a lot of people on it. If you want to put in the comments what you think about maybe scheduling games out of state, whether that be teams coming to you or you going to other teams, other private school teams across states, I would like the general consensus. Do you think it means absolutely nothing? Do you feel like you get value out of it? Are the trips fun? I guess that's a question, since we never really went anywhere when I was playing sports back in the day. I mean, I don't know. I think a drive to Brook Hill was something that, you know, West found, or no, a mid, there you go, a Midland drive to for you know, for Walker was the most he ever got out of a road trip, I guess, out of
No,
state.
probably.
So, but anyways, I thought it was a little tangent. But anyways, we can get off of this. Second Baptist is really good at football, I think, is all I have to say.
Very much true. Walker between Beaumont, Kelly, Cypress, Christian, and LSA. Any overarching thoughts?
I think Braden Robinson at LSA is one of the most underrated guys in all of this division, and I think he is a dude, and I think he's going to be the big time player this year. Sneaky guy, Asia Bradford, the 26 DB, one to watch this year. Shadow Creek transfer, and we know Shadow Creek is one of the top premier teams down in Houston. Could be one to watch. Davis Schroeder, John Laboc, they're going to be solid like always. Cypress, John Kelly, the Kansas commit. He's back and he's going to be really good this year again. I think he's going to be, he could be have an MVP type performance in this district, to be honest. I think you can argue with me. Is he the best player in this district, John Kelly?
Him, Tyler Curry, Grayson
Boker.
Boker. Yeah, I think it's him, Curry, and Boker. Braden
Yeah.
Robinson, dark horse.
Yeah, 100%. And then you have the quarterback battle. Is it going to be Beckett Sweeney last year, or is it going to be Grand Oaks transfer Braden Dawson, who I think would win the job, put Beckett Sweeney at a different position just to have more versatility? And then Max Supley, big time player. I think he's going to be great for them. Tucker Goodall, Beaumont Kelly. Beaumont Kelly had sanctions against them for recruiting last year, as you guys remember. I think it's out there in the world, so I will talk about it because it is a thing they did. They got sanctions. So it's an interesting program going to be in the future with Beaumont Kelly, but Gerald Tyler is going to be the guy for them. Sean Obey, the 6'2 big boy at the defensive tackle, is going to be one to watch for them. But overall, I think this is going to be a down year for Kelly. Cypress is going to make every team be like, dang, we have to face Cypress. That's going to be their mindset where
Because you
they're
know
going
what
to
Cypress is going to do. It's just, can you stop it?
Exactly. So it's going to be there. They have some couple dudes also where Braden or Sweeney are going to, pass it around, but it's going to be John Kelly. And then LSA, can they shock the world this year? Can they beat a Fort Bend? Can they beat an LSA? Or sorry, can they beat a TWCA? Can they cause a little bit of havoc in Taps Division Two, District Four? It's going to be interesting to watch. Overall, I think, like I said earlier, I think this is the most top to bottom, most competitive district. I think the guy said it too. I think it is the most competitive district in TAPS Division Two this year.
I agree. And that being said, I was going to say we're going to move into our storylines, but you just took the last one. So that's one remaining for us to talk about. And I think it's a fitting place to end on before we unveil our overall rankings. Let's do rankings first and then go with the last storyline. It's a good place to end. Our overall, not overall, our top 10 Division II rankings, just because, you know, there's a lot of teams, so we're going to do 10. So overall, at number one, surprise, surprise, Fort Worth All Saints. Number two, the Eagles of Second Baptist. Number three, Regents out of Austin. Number four, Fort Worth Christian. Five, the Woodlands Christian Academy. Six, Fort Bend Christian. Seven, the Mustangs of Midland. Eight, Grace Community should be one. Nine, Brownsville St. Joseph. And 10, Hyde Park. Really quickly, the guy had Grace at eight. How do a podcast with somebody that graduated from Grace have them lower? Again, I won't derail the whole podcast with Grace talk again, but those are the overall rankings. And I will basically provide our commentary by posing this question: is it All Saints versus Second Baptist in the state championship in Waco? I'm going to say yes. Walker, is there any reason not to think that?
I don't think so. I think it is like we said. I think it's Second Baptist is l to lose in the South to get there. I think it's they're the prime team to make it out of the South. Fort Worth All Saints is really only competition will be for Regents and in the other side of the bracket. And it's gonna be interesting to see if Fort Worth Christian can cause any chaos in that district as well. But I think it's gonna be head. It's gonna head to a Fort Worth All Saints Second Baptist showdown in I guess Waco, Texas, probably. But it's going to be one to watch. And I think it would be closer than what people would think. I think it would be a pretty dang good matchup, man. I think that'd be fun to watch.
I agree. Ryan, is there any reason not to think we're going to end the Division II season with a game under the lights in Waco versus Second Baptist and, sorry, All Saints?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I think so. Am I getting this wrong? Is it has to be that? There's no way that Regents can't play.
So, like, three and four districts play each other on one side of the bracket, and one and two play on the other side. So, technically, it would have to be the South versus the North.
I hate that. Gosh, that's literally that's the exact issue I feel like we'd have in D1 if D1 went to because like in D1 we you know where we thought we might run into this too, where the North would just play the South in the championship, right? So the matchup I want, it's if to be honest, is that semifinal matchup. I want Regents versus All Saints. I think that's a really fun game. But yeah, Second Baptist is better than I think they have a better shot to win it this year than I think any other time they've had recently. So yeah, I don't see anybody else in those shoes. In my opinion, I don't see anyone else in those shoes, in my opinion,
I
between the three
agree.
teams.
And what I would say is don't overthink it. Whenever you're in a position where you're predicting games and then more widely, championships a long time out, obviously a lot of things can change. But I think a lot of the times we try to get too cute and be like, oh, well, this team has like two good players. And to sound smart, because no one else is going to say it, we're like, they're going to make a run. Well, they might. However, these teams are the favorites for a reason. They have a ton more athletes, a ton more talent than everyone else, and especially in high school and more specifically private school, whereas the talent disparity across teams is much, much wider than it is in like college or the pros. So it makes it a little bit easier on us to predict. So I say all that to say, I'd be very surprised if we get to late November, December actually, and we don't see Second Baptist versus All Saints in Waco. But that kind of wraps up our conclusion and our talks on TAPS Division II as a whole. I'll turn to both of you, Walker first. Any closing overarching comments on TAPS Division II?
No, I think we did a very good job of keeping this,
It
shortened.
was
So
good. It was nice and tight.
it was
Very
good.
good job, guys. And what's terrifying but also really exciting is I was checking Twitter during this, and people are at UIL like joint scrimmages right now. So like Texas high school football is like almost officially back, guys. Like it's we're almost
Jeez.
here. And that means a lot of stress on our plate, but very, very excited for some good Texas high school football. So we're almost there, guys. I'm very, very excited.
I agree. It is on our doorstep. Ryan Schroeder, closing comments before we hit the road.
No, it's gonna be a good year. We're gonna find ways to. I know me and Wes, and Walker too with school, and me and Wes with jobs and all that. We're gonna find ways to games this year and all that. I know that's. It's funny. I'm actually might have a quicker route to the Parrish Argyle Liberty game than Wes will when Wes is in Dallas and I'm coming down 35. Just think about that with Dallas traffic for a second. But no, seriously, like it's gonna be a great year. I'm really excited about how things are shaking up. And yeah, D2 as well as the other divisions and SBC that we're gonna preview as well. Looking forward to all of it. We got some more stuff coming up the rest of this month and before we get into week one.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, I have an NCAA Football 25 online dynasty to manage before I go to sleep, so I will head out and do that. But again, the TAPS Division II preview. As always, like, subscribe, do all the things that help the algorithm. Please leave comments if you have any comments regarding what we say, because people always do, and we love to interact with you that way. As always, I've been one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tolleson. Ryan Schroeder and Walker Lott have fantastically been themselves. We will see you in the next episode. See you later.